Can you hear me now? Yes. Grace and peace in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Great to be back here at the Indiana version of the Christocentric Conference. And I was thinking you could just drop topic titles at this conference, because every single thing is going to be about Jesus. So it's good. It's good to have a time focusing on Him in a very intentional way. Didn't we have a good time last night in the Lord Jesus? And I got here a little bit late. Just got caught the last part of what Brother Rick was saying. So I've been edified so far already. I'm just so excited. I was saying to somebody last night, didn't seem like we were just here. I think this every year, like, seemed like we were just here. So it's a good thing to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, consider Him. I've been given the topic of a permeating Christocentricity. A permeating Christocentricity. And I started thinking about this and thinking, permeating meaning like, soaked, drenched, like my orientation of Christocentricity, of my Christ orientation needs to be fully impacting everything that I am. It's like, and I started thinking about, I mean, you know, it's beautiful when we get baptized in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we get identified with Him. We get identified with His death, with His person. We're being identified with the God-man. We're given the opportunity to be identified with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He does it in a way where we get baptized into water and we come out fully wet. It's like we're fully put into Him, and we come out, and it's like that's how we begin this walk, and that's how our entire walk should be. Like, we're fully wet in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's washing us. He's changing us. He's making us into who He wants us to be, and we're always thinking like, I want to be identified with Him. I want Christ to impact and reach every corner of who I am. And so I started thinking about this. There's a sister at our local assembly that recently was she had some flooding in her home. So I'm not sure if any of you ever dealt with water damage. But it's like water all in the basement, right? And then she had all these things that were wet. And then she said to me, she said, I had to get rid of all these things because they all smell like the water. They're water damaged. And the water, it got everywhere, right? It gets into the corners. It gets under the couch. It gets, you know. And then it's like when she's like, I can't wash it out. I can't get the smell out. Right? It's water damage. Like, it's permanently changed because the water gets to every element of the fabric. And it's like, now I pick up the fabric and the fabric smells like the water. Now I look at my couch. My couch smells like the water. I look at my carpet. Carpet's like the water. The water is everywhere. And there's no way of binding it or, you know, putting it in a little, you know, cubby hole. It gets everywhere in the house. And so she was saying, you know, I gotta get rid of this stuff. My wife is always messing with me. I'm notorious for leaving stuff in the washing machine. Gets water damage, and it still smells like the water, right? Well, that's what we want to be like. Permanently altered at the most intimate, with respect to the most intimate details of the fabric of our being, the most distant recesses of our minds, permeated with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thinking, what a blessing, because we're identifying with the God-man. We're identifying with God and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's wanting to just extend and expand as far. It's like everywhere. There's no, I can't even put an object on. I can't even put an object of, this is what He wants to permeate, because it's everything. I can't say of this, of that, because it's all. So we're going to talk about this. And so, okay, so permeating, right? It's like it extends. It's like thoroughly drenched and thoroughly altered, saturated, soaked, drenched in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we don't want to limit how we think about Christ to any area. And it's beautiful that, like I said, that the Lord begins with baptizing us so that we are thinking like, man, I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ, so I want to remain in Him. So we're going to look at some specific areas where we see this in the Scripture. You see it everywhere, but we're just going to focus on a couple of specific areas. This is how the Lord operates. This is the way He operates. He's not like, right? He's not like, He doesn't do like a little bit, a little section, right? He doesn't like we are. He doesn't like, say, well, this category, but not this. This person, but not this. It's like He's like all expansive with everything that He does. I think about this Scripture in 2 Chronicles. This happens a few times in the Scripture, but it says that the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Solomon, this is like the first time it's filling the temple, consuming the sacrifices. And it says the glory of the Lord filled the temple. This is 2 Chronicles 6:10. And it's like, it's His glory, His presence is everywhere in that earthly temple, but it's type to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He's the real temple, right? He's the actual temple. That temple was made with hands, but the Lord prepared a body that became the actual temple, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, He called us temples of the Holy Spirit. So it's like, to the furthest extent, right? That glory filled this earthly temple. The Lord Jesus Christ was totally, totally controlled by the Holy Spirit. And He was fully heaven-centered. He was fully obedient to His Father. And totally controlled in every way and every thought to do the will of His Father. And now, these temples need to be totally filled, totally controlled to every, it's like every edge, every element of every single thing that we think, totally controlled by the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to begin in a specific text. I'd like for you to start. We're going to begin with Hebrews 4:12. We're going to look at a couple of different texts here. But we're going to begin with Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12. Which reads like this. For the Word of God, living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked to Him, naked and open to the eyes of Him, to whom we must give account. So we're going to start here that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to permeate every thought of our mind. He wants to be governing every thought of our mind. The Word of God This is a beautiful passage, right, for the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Word of God is alive and powerful, and we know that this Word has become flesh, is the Lord Jesus Christ. So, alive, the Word of God is active, the Word of God is wanting. Listen, the Word of God is wanting to be active and specifically doing things with respect to your inner thought life, right? I find this in my life. Maybe I'm the only one. I find this in my life where the Word of God is activating in an area that I'm really not open to Him being active and living and powerful. And I find, just like with the water damage, I find myself putting up water guard. You know, like waterproofing at this point. It's like I find myself saying, not this area. Not right here. Like, oh man. I'm losing my soul. I'm losing myself. I'm decreasing. He's increasing. And I find myself, when He's living, powerful, and active at times, you know, it's like I'm putting up the water guard. Like we did this, this is a long time ago. I think we've since forgot this, but a long time ago, we first got married. My wife is like, we're going to have to get, stain guard. You know, on the couch, right? Stain guard, right? Stain guard keeps stains off the fabric. Stain guard, like, so, you know, it's like, you know, fabric turtle wax, right? Water hits it, it beads off. It won't seep in now. It'll just fall off, right? It's like, so the liquid, the water won't impact the fabric because you put the stain guard up. But that's how we are. That's how we are. We compartmentalize the Word of God at times because we don't want Him to be living and active. I'm speaking presumptuously. My carnal mind is resistant to the Word of God when He's living and active. And look, it's like, as soon as I begin seeing Him, it's like, He's constantly just testifying, like, okay. You're not like this in this way. You're not responding like this in this way. This is not how you think. The beautiful thing, it's like this scripture. It's sharper. It's spiritually sharper, right? It's like it can divide between soul and spirit. Do you know I can't really divide? Do you know that I can't tell you where my will begins and where His will begins. You know that there are many things. I was just thinking about this today. I like to be right. And I was thinking, am I wanting to be Christocentric because I want to be right? Or because I want to be like Him? I was thinking this. And I started thinking, I don't really know. Sometimes I go, I don't really know, but you know what? You know, Lord, search me. Search my spirit. Search my soul, right? So that my will as it pertains to You in this area is because You get the glory. Not so I'm right. Not in any way. But I need Him to do that. I need Him to be living and active. I need the Word to be living and active, spiritually sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit. We're in the process of handing our souls over to the Lord Jesus Christ, handing our mind, our will, like our intentionality, our emotions of giving those things. But it's like, man, sometimes I'm not fully understand. And it's me. It's like, you know, it's like, well, who does know? If you don't know, who does? It's like, and it's me, and I don't even fully understand. I need the Word to show me myself. I need the Word to show me what I'm like. Why do I think like this? And what I'm saying is, sometimes when He begins to show it, I put up stain guard. Not in this area. I don't want to do this. But He is living and active, and He is able. So it says the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents. Discerner of the thoughts and intents. Huh. Right? your motive. Right? Like the why you did it. The what you were thinking while you did, even though you were smiling on your face. What we were thinking. I was just talking to Tim about this a couple days ago. We were talking about when the Lord came to Abraham and said, when he said, "Now I'm going to come back next year and you're going to have a child." Said Abraham laughed in her heart. And people are pretty hard on Sarah for laughing in her heart. And he said, the Lord says, you laughed. He said, "I didn't laugh." And it's, I see that scripture like, I laughed in my heart. I didn't laugh out loud. I laughed in my heart. And he just says you laughed. He didn't say you laughed out. He sees it the same way. It's naked to him. He sees it like you just laughed. Even though, okay, Lord, I'll see you next year. I don't know what Sarah did. I'm so glad that the New Testament's like, just call Sarah faithful. Because I know I got a lot of stuff like that that I'm thinking. I'm glad that the Lord, it's like, okay, Sarah, you went ahead and walked in faith. But man, you had this thought of doubt? No. But that's reality to him. To him, and that needs to be reality to us. Right? That needs to be, okay. So he's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And it says that all things are naked to him. All things are like plain. They're open to him. He sees it clearly. What you and I can't see. We can't even see ourselves clearly. But he can see it clearly. He's the judge in Revelation with eyes of flaming fire. You can't get away from his eyes. It's like, you know. It's like the Lord of the Rings, like the eye, I'm just kidding. But he's got the real eyes that see everything. He sees your intent. He clearly sees. He's not about your motive. He's not going, I wonder what he meant by that. I wonder why he did that. He's not asking that question. That's not a question that he ever would ask himself. He wouldn't ask himself any question he doesn't know the answer to. But the Word of God, right? So why are we talking about this? Because the Lord wants to permeate our thoughts. Right? Psalm 139. He wants us to say, it's like, your thoughts are beautiful. He wants us thinking, your thoughts are beautiful. I want to think just the way you think in every way. It's not that he's interested in just what you do. As a matter of fact, he's really not interested in what you do when you do it with the wrong motive. It's just not the way that he operates. It's like, that's not truthful. Like, you think this and you're doing this. You're doing this because you think they'll think this if you don't do it. So you do it because you're... That's why he wants you to give without compulsion. Right? He doesn't want you giving because, well, I mean, he gave this and I need to give. I want him thinking that I don't give a lot, so I'll give this amount because then if I give that, that's not how he operates, right? He doesn't want you to give like that. And he does want you to give a lot. At the same time. Right? He just doesn't want you doing it because somebody made you do it. Jesus doesn't, and this is not the time for him to reign in that way. He's going to reign like that, but he's going to get it all straight, okay? But now he wants your heart to want him. And so this is like, so it's like, I'm thinking, so why don't I just be honest with what I think to everyone? Since he's the only one that's going to discern and judge what I think anyway. Do you know your opinions don't really matter? Your opinions do not matter about me, about anyone else. Your opinion about someone else really doesn't matter. His opinion matters. His opinion matters. So I might as well be open about what I'm thinking and about what I did and about my sin. I might as well, because it's open to him already. And that's the way that's truth. That's how he operates in truth all the time. So he is a discerner. And, so he says, to them of whom we must give account. So I don't have to give account to you. So I have to give account to him. And my thoughts ought be Christ's thoughts. He wants to permeate my thinking, what I think, how I think, the way that I think. He wants to govern it fully. Turn to 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10. We'll read 1 through 6, but we're going to hang out toward the end of this verse, end of this passage. Actually, we'll just pick it up in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, for 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, not carnal, but mighty in God, for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down of arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity. Right? It's kind of like there are all these billions of thoughts in the world, and most of them are renegade, right? Most of them are revolutionary thoughts. Most of them are not according to Christ. Most of the thoughts in the world, right? Every thinking thing has having thoughts, and most of them are anarchists. Anarchy thoughts that just go, nope, don't acknowledge you. Nope, Jesus. Yeah, most thoughts are doing, Jesus, whatever. Don't recognize him as God. No, just an opinion. That's your opinion. Well, that's your interpretation. Don't you hear these all the time? Most thoughts in the history of the world, right, are just thoughts, renegade thoughts. That are that become lines of thinking, become arguments over time. This thought leads to this thought, leads to this thought, leads to this thought, and now I have a line of thinking. Right? Sometimes it gets so many people have these thoughts that it leads to like a false religion, right? Does that make sense what I'm saying? So you have all these thoughts. But starting with us, these thoughts need to begin being taken captive. They need to be, they're, you know, it's like, I get saved, and I get counted righteous. I get counted righteous. I get called saved. But my thoughts are still carnal. I'm finding this sometimes very depressing in my own mind, because I was raised in a church. So you have just the regular carnal way the world thinks. I just call it regular. Like, how about we call it unchurched carnal thinking? And then you have carnal thinking in the church, which I was mostly taught. Now I think I'm thinking spiritual because someone in a church somewhere told me to think this way. And I'm deceived by Satan. Because now when the Word is living and active, I just don't even consider this thought. I just think it's already in the category of captive to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's what. And then I learn the Word and realize that's a tradition of man. That's carnality. That's just my own opinion. That's just some guy I met when I first got saved. That's just my dad. That's just my mom. That's just some guy I heard on the radio. Right? That's not a Christ-focused teacher. Uh-huh. Right? And I just listened to him because he represented a denomination or something that I thought was accurate.
Well.
Okay. So I'm just telling you my own thing. It's like, I got these carnal thoughts but some of them, that's like, okay, well, the world thinks those thoughts are carnal. You know? The world is like, well, that should never happen. You know? Like, that's bad. The world, hey. But then you got all these carnal thoughts coming from the church as well. He's got to Right? We have the mind of Christ. He's got to wash us with the water of the world. He's got to reevaluate everything we think so that He can bring every thought into captivity. Sometimes we, it's like an argument, it's like line of reasoning. Sometimes we disregard the conclusion of the line of reasoning, but we haven't disregarded enough of the actual beliefs that lead up to it, and then they creep up some other location. I'm having this happen to me all the time. It's like, I'm starting to talk about something, and as I'm saying, I'm like, I don't really know why I'm thinking this. I don't know why I'm thinking this, and I need to figure out what the Word of God says about this area. You'd be better off not speaking, right? Because you're thinking a thought, and it's not in captivity the Lord Jesus Christ. But we want to get every thought. I think of this. Pat, you ever been to like Chuck E. Cheese or something like that? You know that groundhog game where the groundhog comes up and you hit it over the head, casting down. Another one comes up. You got to hit it. You need to cast every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, which is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. A direct affront to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every thought have you thought about, what about this? Right? Have you considered this? Where is this? Where's this thought coming from? Does it need to be hit over the head like the Chuck E. Cheese groundhog? And hit back down. It needs to be taken captive because these thoughts become arguments, ways of thinking, and then they become strongholds. Right? Like a stronghold. Like now, I have this full area, like I already have a fully developed un-Christ doctrine that's in place. It's a resonant stronghold. You better not touch it. It's not just a random thought, it's a barricade that has defenses built in. Right? A barricade, like you ought not touch this one. I mean, this is not a barricade to most of us, but man, we find these all the time. I'm making a Christ statement. I was at a church a couple of weeks ago, and actually it was a couple of days ago. And they said they needed to break church early to go home and see the speech. Talking about Barack Obama. I thought, I don't care. Not now. I don't actually care at all. But I don't care. I mean, not later. But I thought, that's a stronghold. Like, you're mentioning this like it's spiritual. Like, it doesn't matter. No one, I don't care. I don't care. Like, we're hearing the Word of God, and you want to go listen to Barack Obama. Like, no. Stronghold. You begin to unpeel that stronghold, you'll find race affinity. You'll find pride. You'll find all these thoughts that build arguments. Stronghold. And then somebody says, well, have you considered it? And then you'll find the stronghold will begin to not only take resident, but it'll begin to fire back. Right? So we want no stronghold. We want no strongholds that exalt. I find in the church that the most difficult strongholds to break down are the ones that have some biblical basis, but end up overemphasizing something over Christ. Let me give you an example. Overemphasizing my family over Christ. That'd be an example. It's like, well, that's biblical. Well, I need to love my wife as Christ. I have all these verses, but you're supposed to do these things, like demonstrating the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and now you build it, and then after a while, I get a stronghold. It's all about my family. That's just as evil as another type of stronghold. Because what makes the stronghold evil is not the topic. It's that it exalts itself against the knowledge of God, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what makes it evil. Right? Because it goes against Him. Anything can become a stronghold if you don't, if the thoughts aren't in Christ's captivity, if they're not yielding to Him, to His intention, to His person, who He is. Right? So we want to, and let me just say this for what it's worth. You know, these don't come down without casting down. It requires some. You have to get rid of it, right? It doesn't just melt away. It's a stronghold, right? You have to say, well, this way of thinking, right? Well, man, I've exalted my family. Wow. I've exalted race. I've exalted my kids. I've exalted my job, my thinking about my job. I've exalted my thinking about my ministry. It's not my ministry. It's His ministry. I've exalted my thinking about where I should live, about my possessions, my car. I've exalted these things. I'm going to have to do something to get this, to break this thing down. Like, it's not going to just melt away. Right? But you have some spiritual weapons that you can do it with, right? You have the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have the Word of God. You have the Holy Spirit that will discern and show you how to respond. So you can win this spiritual battle to get rid of these strongholds. All right. It's good. I spent a lot of my time on the thought, but that's good because that's everything. It's like, man, my thinking. The Lord wants to deal with my thinking, my motives. He wants to permeate, this makes sense though, He wants to permeate every thought. Right? He wants to permeate every thought. This thought, to this thought, to this thought. To the point where I can start to say, man, I'm thinking about this, this is not Christ. I can see that. Have you ever had a conversation where you're having the conversation, going along well in Christ? It takes a turn. You know when it happens. That's not Christ anymore. But you let it keep going. And right then, you just stop it right then. Because the thinking is now shifted. All right. Every thought captive, permeating every thought. All right? No stain guard. No compartmentalizing of Christ. No putting Him over here. You can get over here, but not here. You can be here, but not over here. You can be in this. Okay? That's where we're starting. Every word, we want Him permeating every word from our mouth. Okay? Every thought from in our mind, every word. This is how God operates, right? Just a couple of these passages. Since we're, go to Hebrews 10:7, right? Hebrews 10:7. You're familiar with it already. It's based on Psalm 40. Hebrews 10:7, it says, I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book, it's written of me, to do your will, O God. Right? So, we've discussed this many times at this conference, and we discuss this all the time. In the context when we gather that every word, right, the God is speaking is to us is the Lord Jesus Christ. Like it's all about, the volume of the book is all about Him. It's all focused on Him. He is the Word of God, right? He is the Word of God. His speech to us, God's speech to us, right, is permeated with Christ. Everything He's saying is Christ. Like every single Jesus, right? Jesus in Matthew is like, I didn't come to destroy the law, right? Matthew 5. He gets it. Every comma is all, none of it's going to pass away, right? I'm going to fulfill all of it. Can you see the precision of how every word He's speaking is His Son, the Lord Jesus? Can you see the precision of it? Right? That It's detailed speech. It's speech that's concerned. It's not wasted word. Can you see how he's wanting to talk about his son to you? He's revealing his son. The word becomes flesh, right? And now you have the word walking around with no idle words, no, I shouldn't have said that. No, oh, I meant to say this. No, well, I said more than I needed to say. No, well, something needed to be said, but I was afraid to say it, so I didn't say it. But the word, right, is always God. So it's perfect. Perfect word. Right? This is both Logos and Rhema, right? This is like both Logos, like the full message is perfect, but the individual words are perfect. But can you see, right? So it's like, I'm thinking like, Jesus, you search the scriptures, thinking in them you have eternal life, but they speak of me. Like I'm reading the book, thinking, well, what's this? I'm looking for this, some kind of, oh, I need to do this, do that, do this. Then I'm creating an argument. I got this formula, this plus that, and if I do that, and I do that. And you're missing the whole point, because every single thing you're supposed to be finding is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saying all this to say, this is an argument from the greater to the lesser. If God speaks like this, if God is so focused on every single thing He says, and you just heard that He wants us to be just like Him, holy, just like Him, then He's concerned about every single thing we say. Eric was just teaching on this. I was just talking to Tim about this. Eric was just teaching on this. Right? Now, about the blasphemy of the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. But the Lord says that we will have to give account in Matthew 12 of every idle word. Thought just popped in my head, just blurted it out. Right? Saying more than I need to say. Got to a point where I needed to stop. And then it goes into that needed to stop right there. Verbio speaking, where it's magnifying Christ, but it gets wordy, and now I'm getting the glory. Right? Wisdom, flattery of words. Non-truth speaking, but wisdom of words, right? That draws the attention to me. Right? He wants to permeate not only every thought, but every, it's like, He wants all of our speech to be speaking the truth to one another in love. Right? Rebuke when it's needed. Man, rebuke has got to be one of the most least flowed in. Right? I mean, like, rebuke is good. Right? Sometimes we act like we can't, you know, politeness, right? Politeness doesn't like rebuke. Direct rebuke. You're doing this. This is what the Lord God said. Politeness. Politeness is a stronghold then. Wow. Right? It's an argument that's exalted itself against the truth of you need to hear the word right now. You don't need to hear a psychological argument about, well, maybe we need to figure out what the right time is to share this with you. You're not open. Well, maybe you need to hear it right now because you're about to sin. So right now, you need to hear the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did the Lord seem to operate like that? Is that how, we talk so frequently, like, we use these, who was I talking to a couple days ago? We were talking about the woman, the Samaritan woman. And I hear this preach so much, like the Lord, you know, He's going to where she was. And yeah, He did. He met her at a certain place. And then He starts talking about mainly Himself. Not talking, He says a couple of things about her and then directs it quickly back to Himself. Right? And He says, okay, he's meeting her. I'm speaking carnally. He met her where she was. He's figuring out how, this is what I hear, right? He's figuring out how she, and then he says, go get your husband. Yeah, I know you don't have a husband. You've had five. Oh, this is the polite way of figuring out how she could reach her. Yeah, no. He just speaks truth to her. He loves her. He loves her. He speaks truth to her. Right? Is that polite? Is that polite? Like, you just meet somebody and the one first thing you bring up, you've had five husbands. And the one you're with now, he's not your husband. Yeah, well, this is the way the Lord Jesus Christ speaks. This is the way He speaks, because He's concerned with truth. He loves her. He loves her. He's interested in truth. He's not concerned about these other things. So how much more should our words be speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual psalms? Speaking truth to one another. Speaking words of exhortation to one another. Speaking, you know, it's like, let's just allow the Word, the person who is the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, to permeate everything we say. All of our speech, right? I'm at work. Well, what am I doing then? Well, yeah, when you're at work, you're obeying your boss, you're keeping your job in its correct place. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing because you're serving your boss as unto the Lord while you're there. That's what you're doing. But you're not slipping into the things that people at work do and the way they think. You're not slipping into political means of interacting with people. You're walking in truth. You're obeying your boss as unto the Lord. You're not obeying your boss when your boss is asking you to do something you shouldn't do. You're just like, I can't do this. Right? But every word, not only every word, every category. Like, I could be Christocentric in one area. And then I could have this other area over here where I'm not Christocentric at all. The Lord, right, so not only every thought, every word, but the Lord wants to govern every single category of our thinking, every category of our life, every single thing that we do, right? Every single category. He's the maker of all things in heaven and earth, invisible or visible, right? So, He is above all things. But sometimes we keep a pet category, right? Like a pet area where He's not going to be allowed to permeate, to impact, to infect, right? But He wants to impact every single category of our life, every single area of our life. And every soul in the church. Right? So, turn with me to Ephesians 3. I'm running out of time here. Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, 16. This is like fervent prayer. This is Paul. Like, I'm fervently praying for this. This is what I'm praying for this for you. Every soul in the church, that He would, verse 16, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. The Lord wants to build up in our, through the Spirit, He wants to build up in our inner man like Christ's capacity. He wants to strengthen our ability by the Spirit, our ability to apprehend the Son of God, to lay hold of the Son of God. But so He wants us to be strengthened, to be fortified, to have a supernatural ability and capacity, okay, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That Christ may dwell, that He might abide, He might take up. This is not speaking about being saved. This is like that He takes permanent residence. He's permanently dwelling. He's permanently active. He's permanently reconstructing and reshaping things, right? That He may dwell, not just like, you know, pop in, pop out. Right? That He's just like comfortably dwelling in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to lay hold, comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, and depth and height, and know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. This is like, you've got to be strengthened in your inner man, in your spirit, to be able to fully understand and lay hold, to really, it's like jumping in fully with this, with the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, have you ever been like, man, I'm getting overwhelmed. I'm getting weakened. It's like the Lord has to create capacity. I mean, this is a primary prayer for Paul, that you would have the capacity to really fully comprehend, fully lay hold of, fully live out, fully be in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a spiritual capacity. You have a carnal mind. But you need to be built up in this spiritual capacity. It's like, now I have this spiritual capacity. I can see Him when He needs to be seen. I can respond to Him I can obey Him when He needs to be obeyed, because I've been built up in my spirit, and the Lord Jesus Christ now can dwell richly within my heart. Right? Sometimes something's being taught or something is being said, And you don't have the ability to lay hold of it. It's like you're not getting it because you don't have this spiritual capacity to respond to Him properly. Like, you're tired in your spirit, right? I don't understand. I'm not getting it. But what I want to emphasize here is that He wants all the saints to be here. Right? It's not just like, well, those guys over there, they're like really into the Bible, and we're not, right? This is a desire that the whole church is like this. Every single person. So that they would all have an understanding of the love of Christ. There are many things, right, that we fall short on because we just don't have an understanding of the extent of the love of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And with this laying hold of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's many things that wouldn't happen in the church. Right? Because we're not, I mean, there are many things that happen that shouldn't happen, and many things that don't happen that should happen, because we don't have the ability to love Him as we need to love Him. And then lastly, can we just scoot over to 2 Corinthians 2, 14 through 16? It's going to end with this verse here. 2 Corinthians 2, all right, 14 through 16. Hold on, unless your spiritual capacity waning and getting. I know I'm feeling. Are you guys hot? Feeling warm. Maybe I'm just warm, you know. It's good. Huh. Read coffee. 2 Corinthians 2:14 through 16. Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. This is a beautiful picture of permeation of Christocentricity in the world. Right? Through us diffuses the fragrance, the smell. This is the smell, the fragrance of the Lord Jesus Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. So the Lord is using us to dispense Christ's aroma, Christ sacrifice. Oh, this is through us. This is beautiful to God. To those that are being saved and to those that are perishing. But to those that are perishing, right? So in the world, we're diffusing the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be effervescent. People see him, people see you and they go, beautiful smell of the Lord Jesus. But that's what people that are being saved are thinking. People that are perishing are like, that's the worst smell. This is like, this is an aroma of death to this person. This person smells it and they're like, what is this? What is it? But the Lord Jesus Christ wants the permeation is to both. It's to both. It's not just to those that are being saved. To the ones who are the ones being saved and among those who are perishing, to the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. The Lord Jesus Christ wants to expand who He is in every thought, in every word. If He's not governing our thoughts, though, how can we be the aroma of Christ to the world? There's much damage, right, that's done by saying I'm being Christ, but I'm not being Christ. And it's confusing to the world. But it's like our thoughts, our words, our hearts, in our church, in the world, He wants to permeate, right? No categorization, no stain guarding. And because He's going to bring everything into submission under Him. Because every knee is going to bow. And it's going to be knees above heaven, on the earth, under the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But it starts with us, with our thoughts, permeating the entire creation. But He's using us, starting with a man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we want to be just like Him. In our thoughts, in our words, every category, in the church, every person, in the world. May the Lord Jesus Christ permeate all things.